Good morning. I want to greet you in Christ's name. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." I want that to kind of be the theme this morning a little bit, that invitation that Christ gives us. I think we're in a little bit of a tumultuous time. We as a brotherhood are kind of struggling through some things. Lawrence Martin family has had a tragic death. There's other things as well. And the world seems to be in a delicate place. You know, the war in Ukraine seems far away, but we had a family here for a while that was from Ukraine and sadly had to move again. Israel's at war, and it can seem like the end is near. And we have an election, I think, in 9 days that can bring some uncertainty as well. And maybe you think of communion as being kind of a distraction, like, let's get it done with, and let's focus on the real issues, the real problems that need our attention. But I want to stop this morning. Whatever is burdening you, whatever is making life a struggle, making life hard, I want to stop and consider communion this morning, and what the invitation from Christ means. Turn to Luke chapter 22. That's where we'll start, Luke chapter 22, starting at verse 14. "And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you, before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So this do in remembrance of me." Jesus wants us to remember the most important thing in our lives. And I think communion can kind of work as a reset button in a way. In the middle of our struggles, in the middle of our trials, our temptations, or even our sorrow, communion puts Christ in the center of our thoughts again. Remember me, is what he said. When you think about remembering Jesus, what do you think about? And I don't think there's a wrong answer to that. I think we can consider all of what Jesus did here on earth, everything that he did. His healing, his love, his honesty with the Pharisees, his compassion for children. He knew the thoughts that people around him had. He knows your thoughts. He calmed the storm and walked on water. He fed thousands of people, and he gave us the Sermon on the Mount. He taught people about God. He raised some people from the dead, and he gave us an example of prayer. But I think what Jesus is saying here to remember him, remember all of him, but I think specifically we're to remember his death and what he did for us on the cross. So I want to read the story of the crucifixion. And we'll start in Matthew chapter 26, so you can turn to that. But I want to remember Christ's death this morning. So Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 57. "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses, and said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, "He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?" They answered and said, "He is guilty of death." Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?" So Jesus first suffered at the hands of the religious leaders at that time. They spit on him and slapped him. And the disciples had already fled except for Peter, and I believe in other accounts that there was another possibly another disciple that was there as well. But Peter specifically, but we know how that turned out. Peter denied him, and Jesus heard it. In one of the Gospels, it says that when Peter denied him the third time, that Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and that's when Peter went out. So he suffered through that as well. But let's go to John chapter 18 for the next part. John 18, starting at verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Now let's go back to Matthew 27. Sorry, we're kind of flipping back and forth here. I was kind of not sure which gospel to go with, and so I kind of combined some. And we're not getting the whole story here, but some of it. So Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So I think if I understand it right, the crucifixion maybe started at the third hour. He was on the cross by the sixth hour, and then there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. So he hung on the cross for about 3 hours. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let it be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." I think that's where we'll stop. Jesus cried out, "It's finished," and he died. It's finished. The redemption story is complete. Sin was atoned for. The curtain in the temple was rent. We have complete access to God. There was an earthquake. The rocks broke apart. People rose from the dead. And the centurion said correctly, "Surely this was the Son of God." Back to Luke 22, verse 19. I'll read that again. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and said unto and gave unto them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And I think Jesus was saying, "Take this bread and remember the suffering that I went through. Remember the pain and the agony. Remember that Jesus was beaten and scourged. He was mocked. He wore a crown of thorns and was nailed to the cross. Remember, take this bread, this is my flesh, and remember my death and how horrible it was." And then verse 20 says, "Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you.'" And I think of the bread as a reminder of the suffering and how bad it was. But I think of the cup as, I think, remember the victory. It's a token of the New Testament, which has come through the shed blood of Christ. Jesus' last words on the cross were, "It is finished. The Savior has come, and the price for sin has been paid." I want to read a little bit from Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So if the bread is the suffering, the cup is the celebration of the result. It's the new covenant. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, or he was chastised so that we could have peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. Isn't that amazing? At the very first sin at the garden, and many times after, God promised a redeemer. And the redeemer has come. It's finished. And no more sacrifice, no more separation from God. Now we're his sons and daughters, and we can come boldly to him. Now anyone, it's an open invitation, anyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved. It's the New Testament. The blood is a token of the New Testament. So let's consider again this invitation that Jesus gave. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a glorious thing. It's amazing. Jesus wants us, by doing communion, to take a moment and remember him. Like the song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. So in the middle of your struggle, your suffering, remember Jesus. Take some time today to remember what he's done. He suffered for your sin. He took your punishment. And he gives you new life. He gives you mercy and grace. And it doesn't stop there. He died for you, and now he calls you to live for him. Put off the flesh. Put on the spirit. Love others well. Live like Jesus did. And I also look at communion not as only remembering Christ, but as a renewed commitment to tell the Lord that I'm in. I'm going to take your suffering and the New Testament of your token of the New Testament. I'm going to make it a part of me. It's a way of saying, I will follow you, Lord. I'm committed. And the last thing I want to look at here is, I want to look again, I guess, at what Jesus said about the First Communion. And I'm going to read it from the ISV, Luke 22, starting at verse 15. And he told them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer, because I tell you, I will never eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and share it among yourselves, because I tell you, from now on I will never drink the product of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And what I want you to notice is Jesus was eagerly anticipating the first communion. And I think it's special to him. It's not only special to us, but it's special to Christ. And I imagine him looking on our communion today with anticipation and looking forward to the time when we can sit down with him in heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, just come before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for sending Jesus, for how he suffered and died for us on the cross, so that we can live, so that we can be your sons and daughters, so that we can experience your love and mercy and forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing that is. And help us, Lord, to remember and to live, to go from today with power to live godly and to put on the Spirit to love people well. I just pray that you would be with each one as we take communion. In your name I pray, amen.